Welcome, 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 podcast listeners. It is episode number 348 of the Fret Talk podcast. This week you are joined by Mr. Budget Pedal Chaff. That is me.
Hi, me.
you're also joined this week by Mr. Matt Quine. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. Back in the country from the same country, but
it's not the same country.
Not the same island. I don't know. You're not a sovereign state, are you?
We're a crown dependency. We're not anything. We're not a country, but we're also not part of the UK or the EU or any sort of group of anything. We're nothing, basically. We have our own government that still has to get approval from your head of state, despite the fact that we don't do anything with your parliament. So, yeah, lots of confusion.
So, technically, yeah. You've returned from another country.
Yeah. So, indeed. I've gigged on foreign soil.
Indeed. Yeah, for me, not so foreign. For you, foreign soil. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on, because that's how we do things around here. We do start these podcasts with a bit of shit news, but we do a little something before that, which is mention our sponsor, which this week is, as always, affordaboard.co.uk. They bring you pedals from such companies as Demon FX, JSA FX, Musky, Joyo, 4D, K-Lite, Nux, Movil, and Cord. At affordable prices. At amazing prices. Amazing affordable board prices. Yep. We it's probably pre-recorded.
Professionality.
Yep. That's it. Putting the session professional. So they're a UK company with all their stock ready to ship in fantastic recyclable packaging. Check them out at affordaboard.co.uk. This week, I believe, the stuff that I mentioned last week, the very, very copyright close certain efforts by Demon FX. Well, it's mainly Demon FX who are the copyright boys, but there's a few as well. There's some Musky M series coming in, and then there's the flying very close to the, you know, I'm going to call them the Icarus pedals, because they're testing those waxy wings, aren't they? They're really fucking testing them. Which should be, there should be some of the new stock making its way to me very shortly, because there was a little conversation this week that happened between Mr. Affordaboard and K-Line Pedals, where K-Line basically said, like, they called Affordaboard out and went, like, AB the Pure Sky versus the JSA modded, or it didn't happen. And he went, all right. So he sent a message to me and went, like, hey, do you feel about doing a shoot it between the two? And I went, yeah, fucking damn right I will. So, like, in the interest of fairness, I've got him to send out a stock Pure Sky and the JSA mod as it is today, because I've got a JSA mod Pure Sky, but I don't know how...
How up to date it is.
Yeah. So, I'm going for, like, the stock as it stands today, and then I'm going to do, there's going to be a special requested no-talk call tone from K-Line themselves.
What you should do as well is get onto Anderton's and get yourself a Janray, and then just play it for the video and then send it back.
Yeah, you should do that. Get old Paul Cochran on the phone as well, and just go, can I just borrow a Timmy here? Because the good people at K-Line have asked for a demo, so, you know. I don't think he will be so receptive to that.
Yeah, we're after a Timmy off.
Yeah. But there you go. So that will be, it may not be by next week, depending, but it'll be very soon. There'll be a requested Pure Sky off. But then there'll also be some of the new ones coming in as well, which I'm looking forward to. Because, like I say, they are flying very close to the sun. I think it's the last batch of those ones that we're going to get before the graphic and name are changed a little. So if you want the ones that are closer to the copyright, getting quick. Yeah. And to be fair, Demon Effects have been really impressing me recently. And we'll talk a little bit about why that is on my what we've been up to. If I get up to it, because you've been up to shed loads this week, Matt. You've been up to shed loads.
Yeah.
But before any of that, we talk about some shit news. And it is...
Way!
Yeah, why not? Traditions. We're talking about some shit news. And it is... I mean, it's shit because... Like, it's Gibson again. let's face it, they're coming in strong this year. However, it is also shit because we've both looked at this amplifier and like we're not new to amplifiers. We've played a few in our time and we can't figure out what it does, basically.
No, I don't get it.
Right, so let's have a chat about it, and we'll try and bluff that we know more than we do. So the Gibson Dual Falcon 20, which I've put 20 watt here, and it definitely isn't 20 watt. It's 15. But it's called the Falcon 20, just for clarity. Yep, yeah, that's how that numbering works. So the Falcons were announced earlier on in the year, I think January time, like Gibson are like doing a foray into the whole amplifier thing again after a big long hiatus. Largely down to the fact that they have acquired Mesa Boogie and now have the facilities to make amplifiers. Like, all good. We're all good. Like, going back to some of the traditional Gibson amplifiers that were done back in the 60s, hey, at a quite pricey point, a pricey price point. So those ones, like the old ones, I say the old ones, the ones that were in January, were like about $2,500 for a 5-watt amp and then like a 15-watt amp. I think now they've...
It's a 12... The 20 is a 12... The normal Falcon 20, not the new one,
yeah,
is a 12-watt amp.
Okay. Of course it is.
For $2,000.
Yeah. Of course
because,
it is.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, because... Yeah, but there were two versions, weren't there? So there was...
Yeah, there was the 5 and the 20.
Five and the 20.
The 5 is a 5-watt amp.
Of course it is, yeah.
What and the 20 yeah. is a 12-watt amp.
What, yeah.
Of course. Oh, no, sorry. The 5 is a 7-watt amp. The 5 is a 7-watt amp. Sorry, got it wrong.
That makes me feel at least a little bit better. Because...
What?
At least they're both fucking stupid. Not just, like, one follows a pattern and the other one doesn't. If they're both crazy, then that's cool. However, like the new one is the Dual Falcon, which is 15 watts, I believe. It's still the Falcon 20, but it's a 15 watt, I think. Right, that's all good. It's a 2x10 amplifier, so slightly bigger than the last lot because they were single speakers. Same things like fitted with the Jensen Blackbird speakers. However, we're going to look at the top of the amplifier, and then it's going to confuse us. It's just going to confuse us. So on the top of the last ones, they were really, really simple layout. They were a single channel amplifier which you had three controls, which was like volume, tone, and something else.
Reverb. So the 5 was 3, and that had volume, tone, reverb, and then the 20 had a couple of extra controls. It was like presence and
there was like frequency
else.
Or something, weren't there?
Yeah, it was depth and frequency.
There you go. Did that...
I assume the depth was on the reverb, because otherwise, what?
Well, was it not for the tremolo?
I don't think they had tremolo.
Unless
it was...
Pretty sure they did, because I heard a tremolo on the one of them. So it might be that...
That was just the only depth for the tremolo. Yes, you're right, it does have tremolo. There's no other control for the tremolo, so it must just be depth.
Okay.
Which makes no... frequency will be the fucking frequency of the tremolo as well.
Yeah, yeah. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, so you've got volume, tone, reverb for the amplifier, and then depth and frequency for the tremolo. Which, it's a thing. Simple amplifiers can be good. They can be really good. If they're voiced really well, then cutting out all of the guff and going straight to this is your sound. Yeah.
Yep.
And to be fair, when I did hear the 20 with the tremolo going on, it sounded fantastic. It sounded really good. But like you say, 12 watts and about $2,000.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell. Anyway, so we've got this dual Falcon, which is now, so it's got the tremolo frequency and depth again. And then you've got two separate channels by the looks of it, with volume, tone, and reverb for both. Cool.
Yeah.
all good so far. So wow. So we've got two different stages of amplifier. So we can potentially have two channels sounding very different. You've also got the option for low, half, and full wattage. So you could potentially run one really hot, but then have it at a similar volume as a clean channel that's running at full volume.
Yeah. If you know how to work it.
Yeah. The thing that's confusing us here is you've got input 1 and input 2. And it looks like you've got one of the amplifiers goes to input 1 and one of the amplifiers goes to input 2. So it looks like it's a two-channel amplifier that you can't switch between. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but maybe you could, the thing that confuses you is you could go into input 1 and 2, and then there's a toggle switch between channel 1 and channel 2. So is channel 1 and channel 2 the two different amplifiers, or is channel 1 and 2 the different inputs, or does each input have two channels and they're for two different amplifiers?
Yeah, maybe a voicing for each channel. You've got a voicing for input 1 and a voice. I don't know. It's very, very confusing.
If 1 was low and 1 was high and 2 was high,
yeah,
then you wouldn't need the toggle switch for the low, half, and full wattage. So it's not like a Fender where you've got a bright and a dark, unless it is and they just don't tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, it very much could be, but the listings on the websites don't really tell you, and
no,
and it's not very intuitive to look at it.
No,
it's controls, volume, tone, reverb, depth, frequency, connections, normal. Oh, normal and low. There you go. So it does look like it's actually a low input and a normal. Okay. Yeah. And then you can switch between the two channels. It's $2,500. And it's really simple. And it's 210 as well, like 10-inch speakers. Yeah,
210, 15 watts.
Yeah. It'll probably be loud enough to gig, because like 15-watt valve, fine. I'd probably like a 15-watt amp, because I'd run a 30-watt amp and get it to about 2, and then people start moaning.
Yeah.
So I could probably run a 15-watt amp, especially if it's got like a half power and a low mode as well.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I hate 10-inch speakers. I just hate them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're never enough.
Yeah, they've not quite got the bottom end. I mean,
and these are Jensens, and I hate the Jensen speakers anyway. I don't care what brand of what flavor of Jensen speakers it is. I don't know anybody that doesn't take the Jensen speakers out of their Fender to make it actually work as an amp.
Yeah, make it better. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's why you shit knows, because it's really expensive. It's too simple, and it's got 10-inch speakers, and there's no excuse for that at that price point. There's no excuse.
No.
So, there you go.
No.
Well done, Gibson. That is another shit news under your belt this year. We've got to be talking double digits by now. We've got to be. So, Matt, you've done a shed load this week. You've done so much. Do you want to talk us through some of that?
Yeah, I'll start. Let's put the new things that I have on the back burner, and I'll start by, you know, I went and did a gig in the UK, which was just to be able to, like, I know it was a family wedding kind of deal, but the fact that we got to, you know, hire an Airbnb for most of the band to stay in, hang out as a band all day, rock up, set up. The venue was big enough that I had 4 guitars on a rack and I could play all 4 of them throughout the night. And so I had the 4 guitars, which meant like, and I was able to have the Vox, which means I had my sound. And it was just a really good atmosphere. Like I say, it was a family wedding, our singer's wife's sister's wedding. So lots of people there to show us support. Lots of people enjoying themselves, just a really good vibe. And like I say, the fact that I basically hung out with the band all day beforehand and like for half the day the following day as well, to feel like a proper tour. I know it's not a proper tour, but it's the closest I'm ever going to get. So
yeah,
it was just a really good, fun kind of experience to do the full thing where you just hang out with the 4 or 5 of you that are in your band for a 24-hour period and play guitar in the middle of it.
I mean, it's fantastic news that you don't hate each other, because that would have been a fucking awkward time, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. But yeah, no, it was absolutely great fun, and, you know, chatted shit for a while and drove home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then realised halfway that we were on the running lights on the hired transit, not on the actual proper headlights. That was why I had to hold the full beam on, like that kind of just. Yeah. I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the morning in a fucking tiny little village in the northwest of the UK, so didn't even come across another vehicle. But yeah, it was all like really good fun. Had a lot of good fun, and yeah, so that was kind of like, that's kind of like the reason why I was in the UK. Now, because I was in the UK, I got in touch with our friend Steve, who had mentioned that he was getting rid of some cabs, and I was like, well, you sending me those in the post and going through all that inconvenience for yourself, how about I come down and, you know, we'll hang out and we'll have a couple of nights of booze and we'll play some gear. And he's like, yeah, absolutely, come down. So instead of, like, that was the gig was on the Saturday, so on the Wednesday I drove from Liverpool all the way down to Eastbourne. Really inconvenient, but I just had an awesome time hanging out with Steve. We've spoken about him a couple of times.
Steve's a legend.
This is the third or fourth time I've been down to stay with him. He's got loads of gear, and he's really happy for, you know, those of us that have been talking to him for such a long time at this point to try it all out. And I tried some just incredible pedals, amps. We set up a Friedman stack that was 12 on the bottom and 12 on the top. So it, like, it, because it's a mini head stack, it looks like a full, like a squashed down full stack.
Yeah.
Which was the Little Sister, which I hadn't tried before. I've only ever tried the mini Shirley. Mm-hmm. But this was the Little Sister. Another great sound and Marshall style amp. That, yeah, I loved pushing things in front of. And then he's got two of the custom shop Fender, some sort of blackface 59 reverb deluxe or what. I don't speak Fender.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they're, they might have been twin reverb. I don't know. They're the smaller ones. They're like a 20 watt a side or maybe even 15 watt a side, something like that. But they're 112 Fender. Yeah, it's 112 Fenders that are really clean blackface kind of thing that you have as your clean platform. And then he's just got an array of pedals to throw into the front end for you to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Set them up in stereo, move them apart a bit, and had like ping-ponging tremolos and ping-ponging delays and all sorts to kind of play about with for a while, and then just went through the plethora of drive pedals that he's just been collecting over the last 20 years or however long he's been like collecting drive pedals, and I fell in love with some really expensive pedals.
Yeah.
Like, he's on his main board, he's got the, let me get this right, it's a Nordvang Klon,
yeah,
whatever the single Klon, not the side from the Gravity.
Yeah.
Then there's a Hot Cake, because Steve loves a Hot Cake to push something else if you just need to lift it up in the mix, because it's got a bit of extra clean blend in it. Then he had the Nordvang 83 drive,
mm-hmm,
which is a Klon on one side and a Bluesbreaker on the other.
Yeah.
And the Bluesbreaker side on that is much better than the Marshall Bluesbreaker, because the volume at about 11 o'clock is unity, not the volume at max is unity. So you don't have to make your pedal hiss,
yeah,
to get unity volume. And it's, yeah, just a cracking sounding pedal. And then he's got a Jan Ray, which is not my choice of drives. The Timmy I like-ish, but like amongst those other things, I would barely use it.
Yeah.
And then he's got the Mike Landau Signature Butter Machine, which is another Vemoram pedal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And oh my god, like, this was like, it's just, I don't know who Mike Landau is. Apparently he's Richie Sambora, but not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's Bon Jovi's guitarist when Richie Sambora is not around, but I'm not really interested in who he is. His signature pedal from Vemoram, it's not cheap, but it's fucking incredible. And pushing the front end of that with things like the Klon side of the thing. And the other thing that Steve had, and it wasn't on any of his boards, so he pushed it into the front end of a few of them. He was like, I've just bought the Nordvang Midair, which is the Tube Screamer.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've been trying to use this as an overdrive pedal and I just don't like it. And I was like, fuck that. I hate Tube Screamers as an overdrive pedal. So here, you'll love this. And I just dialed all of the gain out of it and put it to like almost off gain and just tweaked the EQ a little bit and just pushed it into the front end of everything. And he was like, oh, I love the sound of that. It's like, yeah, that's how I use my my Tube Screamers. And he was like, yeah, I can actually get along with it now. Like, it's probably not going to go like replace the Klons or anything, because he prefers that kind of,
yeah,
that part of the EQ curve move instead of the Tube Screamer part. But yeah, the Nordvang is the, what I would say is that would be the closest thing for me to replace an Antares with if I was going to replace the Antares, because it does it in a different way but pulls out the right frequencies for your lead boost, just,
yeah,
like the Antares does. Yeah, the for me, the Butter Machine was just the thing that I fell in love with. And they're like 430 quid or something like that for a three knob drive pedal. So I'll never ever spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just absolutely love that thing. And then I've tried his other board and he had like a couple of similar pedals on it. And the one thing that I really enjoyed on that other board, and you won't expect it from me because I'm not, you know, a heavy rock man, but it was a Soldano pedal.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what the Soldano pedal art was, but it had Soldano written on it. Mm-hmm. And it did the, you know, the really hot-rodded Marshall kind of sound. Yeah. And just cranking that and playing Metallica riffs like I'm 15 again through the front end of the Friedman, which is basically a Marshall. I was having fun like I was a little kid again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we all like to think that we've grown up, and we'll all try and convince ourselves that no, we're more sophisticated now and wanna put a really, really loud kind of gainy tone in front of us, and we go guitar go brr.
yeah and obviously, like, I was playing Les Pauls that cost more than my house is going to cost, or at least more than the deposit for my house probably. Because Steve's stuff is kind of top quality gear. Like, one of the guitars was the Custom Shop 5, oh, sorry, the Collector's Choice 5, the Donner, which I think had the Monty's Paths in it, and they actually sounded really good. I know we've talked before about Monty's sometimes a hit and miss, but
yeah,
like, I really love them. And he had another, I don't know what the guitar, I know it was a Custom Shop Les Paul, but I don't know what variety of Custom Shop Les Paul, with the Monty's Underspuns, which are like 6K output, so they're a lot less, you know, Paths usually like 7 or 8K, aren't they, kind of thing. The Underspuns were pulled back at like 6, and they just allowed you to get a lot more clarity. So if you wanted like if you didn't want a blues rock or heavier sound from your Les Paul, they'd almost do that kind of like hot telly sound, in the, like, you know, that just lot slightly less push than a Les Paul.
Yeah.
And I really quite like those as well. And then he's got a gold top with a set of, I can't even remember what the pickups in that were, but again, they were somebody else's version of a Path. And again, just absolutely brilliant. Like, yeah, stick it on that neck pickup, add a little bit more gain and you Gary Moore, take a little bit more gain away and you're more like classic rock and blues kind of stuff. Yeah, just absolutely filled my boots with playing those. And then he's got all sorts of strats that we kind of went through over time, and just, yeah, again, learned that clean tone on a strat, if you're pushing it right, is just gorgeous.
Yeah. I think that was my realization about 5 years back, I think, and I've not been back since.
Yeah, and I'm slowly coming towards it, bearing in mind that 3 years ago I didn't have anything with a single coil in it. I'm moving the other way these days.
Yeah, you're doing well, aren't you? Because you've gone from nothing to now having the Nick Johnston, the PT as well.
Yeah, and the for the Open G tune, and I've got the Classic Vibe as well.
Yeah. So you're doing well. You are doing well. So you've sampled some of the finer things in life. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've ruined myself because I've heard some tones that I'm never going to be able to afford.
Yeah. We need to get someone like Kaylor onto making not the butter machine, the margarine maker.
The spreadable machine. The spreadable. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Spreadable device.
Yeah. Well, our Hello Sailor does the anchor drive, doesn't it? Which, surely.
I think it might be flavoured a little bit different, though.
Yeah, just needs to tweak it a little bit. And that would be...
Can you do a Lurpak one?
That's it. Oh, yeah. Oh, beautiful. Like, in the style of the Nordvang, just but with Lurpak. Oh, dear. There's endless fun to be had there, isn't there? There's endless fun.
Absolutely.
Right, we'll talk a bit of news because we're kind of halfway through, and I think we would be strung up if we did not talk about this news, because it is both hot topic-y and I think people want to hear our opinions on this. I'll be honest, I'm not even sure what I think about it yet. I'm mixed, but let's do it. So Tom DeLonge has been, he's been teasing the Starcaster for about a year or so now, hasn't he? He's been like, he's been playing, I think, like a white one with stickers on it, which is like a custom shop jobby. And then the last couple of weeks, he's been kind of teasing like the like a rose gold pinky kind of like metallic pink Starcaster that had a single pickup. And it's just been appearing on like a few Instagram posts and just kind of here and there. And then this week it dropped. Fender officially announced the Tom DeLonge Starcaster. And it's not a custom shop. It's not like, it's not like special runs. It is standard line. So Fender Tom DeLonge Stratocaster. It's exactly how it looks. So it's single pickup, one knob, Duncan pickup.
SH5?
Yeah. I thought he used the Invader. I don't think the SH5.
Maybe the Invader's probably not the best thing to put inside a hollow body guitar, though.
No, I shall hear none of it, Matt. But yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, so Starcaster, of course, is what would happen if a Jazzmaster and a 335 done some dirty fucking.
Absolutely.
Because there's no love there. Like, you look at that, there's absolutely zero love. That's a hate shag, that, isn't it? There's revenge in that there body shape. But it is, it's like an offset 335-ish kind of thing. And like the Starcaster has been around, like it was initially around in the 70s, I think, and then come back about probably 10 years ago. There's a few in
I would say about that.
Yeah, like there's, they did a few Chinese ones. Then they did the Squire line. They've got a few in the Squire line. They've got like the contemporary Starcaster, which is hollow but doesn't have the F holes. And then they've got like the classic vibe as well. So they've been around. They're kind of, they're slowly
introducing. Did they not do like a Mexican one when it first came back as well?
I thought it was Chinese, but I
maybe it was. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Like, I'll happily concede to that because it sounds kind of about right. But yeah, so he's taken this. He's taken the Starcaster shape because he did have a 339 when he moved over to Gibson.
Was it not a 125 or something?
It could have been, but look, there was definitely a Gibson semi hollow Tom DeLonge. And he's come back
333.
Ah, oh, there you go. I was six off. but that again, like really similar aesthetic in terms of single pickup, tunematic bridge, one control. Looked a lot cooler than the Starcaster, I'll have to say. Like the olive with the racing stripe down the centre. Looked a lot cooler. But he's getting what he wants. He's getting that tone from Fender now with the Starcaster. Four colours. Shell pink, it says. I thought it was a sparkly, but it's not. Olympic white, surf green and shoreline gold. Yeah. They're all a bit safe, aren't they?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's black hardware on the white and the pink, and chrome hardware on the gold and the green. Is it surf green, did you say? And just, I'd quite like the black hardware, whichever one you go, because obviously the shell pink one is sold out quite quickly everywhere, and the other colours are still available.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? But I'm just looking at them, like the colours would be fine if there was something else to break it up. Like if there was a torque guard with the gold, the surf green, and the white actually, and then maybe like a white guard with the pink.
They should have kept the racing stripe. Have a black racing stripe down the centre with a big fat solid line with two pinstripes either side.
Mm. Yeah, because
that would have looked badass.
It's just a bit plain, isn't it? It's just a bit.
Yeah.
Bit yeah, too plain.
There's too much front of the guitar.
Yeah. Even though they've got really massive F holes on there, it's still it's a bit barren. But yeah, so that's the aesthetic. It's also got a really light rosewood. I don't think it's rosewood. I think it's laurel, isn't it? Board.
Probably.
And, oh no, it is a rosewood, but they look like light rosewood. And very dark maple neck. So,
yeah.
Like very, very vintage tint. Almost to a point where it looks like burnt. Big fat headstock, which I'm usually a fan of, but with the Starcaster, it's just not right, is it?
No, it's too much because the body is so big. The massive headstock just it looks like you've got like a balloon at the end of your fucking guitar. It's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, it does all right. It's got locking tuners. It's got a Duncan pickup. And it's reasonably priced compared to the Stratocaster, like the single pickup Stratocaster Tom DeLonge. So this is £915. There's a reason for that, though, isn't there? There's a reason. And the reason is because they are Indonesian made. Which,
yeah.
So,
I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of weeks back, we were talking about Indonesian-made guitars, and actually, that they sit, they like a lot of the kind of good spec ones are sitting at about a grand.
Yeah,
this is. I'm torn because. On the one hand, it's a single pickup guitar with a single volume control, so there's not much going on with it. But it is a full, full semi hollow. There's no like access at the back, so it will be a pain in the ass to wire up. So that's going to take some doing. It's bolt on neck though, so that's going to ease up the process a little bit.
Yep.
I don't know. It like for me, it doesn't scream like it's massive amounts of effort to make this guitar. It doesn't, like, in terms of the complexity of the makeup of it and whatnot. But it is a signature, and it's a signature coming in under a grand. So, like, what do I know?
Yeah, but I mean, what I will say is. For an extra £250,
yep.
The Dave Grohl is much more of a guitar. You've got two pickups, more control over both pickups. It's not a bolt-on neck. It's a set neck. And I think Dave Grohl is a bigger artist than Tom DeLonge. Don't let him hear me say that, but
yeah,
I think that's probably true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, almost certainly, because like Dave's been consistent since the mid Foo Fighters, he's been consistent. Like you'd even argue that since his time in Nirvana, he hasn't really stopped.
Yeah,
but like I'm thinking, hit like the peak of his stardom was that kind of like. Early 2000s, where he was doing stuff with Queens of the Stone Age. He was doing Foo Fighters stuff, like the big Foo Fighters hits. He then did them Crooked Vultures. Yeah. He appeared in Tenacious D stuff as well. Like he was everywhere, and like he hasn't gone away. Like he's just there.
No,
so like yeah.
Just to let you know, everything you talked about there was like late 90s, early 2000s, not mid 2000s at all.
No, no.
Yeah, so Queens of the Stone Age album was 01, and then he did the tour in 01 and 02. That Tenacious D album is either 01 or 02. those Foo Fighter hits, like, finished in around 2005.
Next, they were, you're like, going to be telling me.
Again, 01, 03, 05.
Yeah, you're going to be telling me that the 90s was 30 years ago now, and...
No comment.
I'm not ready to believe this, Matt. I'm not ready to believe. But yeah, look, you've made some very valid points for the fact that the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl is bigger than Tom DeLonge, and the guitar, you're getting much more for your money.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't particularly happy about the Dave Grohl, but it seems like a bargain, doesn't it? In comparison, because they're not Indo made, I don't think. They're probably Chinese made.
Yeah, they are Chinese, but like much of a muchness, really, isn't it? Like, in terms of legacy of instruments that have been produced by them.
Yeah, and you're getting two pickups there instead of one. Both.
Yeah.
Burst Buckers, is it? It's like proper USA Burst Buckers. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could have been shit news, but I think people would have come at us with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, and Gibson had released something, so...
yeah, standard. Yeah, they released a really confusing amplifier. I think it's safe to say that we're not going to be getting one.
No.
It's not for me. Like, I need a neck pickup. I need a neck pickup.
I know you do.
So, but like... Hats off to Fender for bringing it out under a grand. And it's, well, the fact that the pink one, or whatever it is, log shell pink has sold out, suggests, they're a bit popular. So,
yeah,
you know, all good. Matt, tell us some more stuff. Tell us some more stuff, because you've done loads of stuff.
Should we talk about new things then?
Yeah, let's talk about new things.
Did I talk about the Plethora X3 arriving? I've just realised I haven't written that down, but...
I think you did, yeah. I think you talked about it being purchased.
Yeah, it's been purchased. It has arrived. It didn't go on my board in time for going away, because it was like, it arrived 2 days before, and I'm like, I'm not fucking with anything now. I'll just put it on the board when I get back. So I've had a little bit of a play around with it, and I love it, and I plugged it into my computer and my computer talked to it immediately. Like,
right, yeah, fucking show off.
Like, it's fucking TC Electronic 1 line 6-0. I was able to like do things like rename patches and create more boards and all of that stuff really simply. It was really easy. I was also able to update it immediately. I mean, my one criticism is I now have, is that micro USB, or is that, I don't know what the connection is on the Plethora, mini. But it is mini USB. Yeah, so I've got one of these cables that I now have to keep in the back of the Plethora, because otherwise I'll lose it, because I've got a drawer next to me here, but it'll go in that drawer and then get tangled with all the other random cables that I use once every fucking quarter of a century.
Yeah. Fortunately, I use that quite often, because I've got an old PS3 that uses exactly that to charge the pads. At the time, that was the USB to use. If you didn't want to use big USB, it was the small version, and so it's of its time, and it made sense then. If we were doing it now,
2007.
Exactly. Like, the modern equivalent, I'm sure, has USB-C.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even that. It just charges telepathically, maybe. I don't know how science works these days, but it's moved on since that USB.
Yeah. Definitely. So what I've done with the Plethora is I've set up, like, what will be my main board, which will just be a reverb, a delay, and a phaser. And then I've set up some other settings for, like, different sounds that I might want. And I'm sure I'll set up more boards as time goes on. But for now, I've kind of set that up, and I'll get that onto the board in time for the next gig in, like, a week and a half's time.
Yeah.
So that has arrived. And nice. Then, as I discussed, I went down to Steve's to pick up some new cabs. So he had some Jackson Ampworks cabs, which are like quite premium level cabs, but they're not a matching pair. And obviously Steve's now doing a lot of work in an Elton John tribute act, which means he needs to look exactly how he wants to look on stage. So he's bought a pair of Zilla cabs that are finished exactly like the Friedman is, to go with the Friedman when he uses that. And then obviously he's got cabs for his Two Rocks that look exactly like his Two Rocks for when he uses those. And he's got his Fenders as well. So he's now got everything kind of matching. And he's like, I've got these. I'm not going to use them anymore. Like, most of my gigging is going to be done with these bands, and I've got plenty of cabs now. So he mentioned about 6 months ago that he was getting rid of these cabs, and I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll come and I'll take those off your hands. So went down there, collected them. So I've got one with a cream back in, and the other one is unloaded at the moment, and I'll get a Celestion Greenback G55H, which is on order, but the Celestion don't have any in stock at the moment, so they've got one on order, and I'll then order it from them once it's arrived in the UK. But that's going in a ported cab, which apparently just sounds fucking huge, and I can't wait, but at the moment it's unloaded. So pick those up. I've tried the Marshall head through the Creamback 112, and it sounds great already, and I just can't wait to have it paired with the G1255, the Greenback, because that's what Steve's got paired with his Friedman that I was playing down there. And it's just a huge sound. The two speakers complement each other so well. So pick those up, and like, they look phenomenal. Just very classy looking, the Japs Ampwork stuff. The Creamback is in a cream fronted cream fronted kind of cab. And then the other one is a bit of a different feel, but yeah, they'll be great. But once I get like the speaker in the other one, I'll set up the thing and get photos for everybody, because I'm sure you'll all be very excited to see it all.
Yes.
And then Steve also gave me one, like, so kindly, a Friedman BEOD that he just has no use for, because he's got all of the Vemaram stuff and the Nordvang stuff, and it's like, here. And like, I love the sound of the BEOD. It is the heavy, like, it's heavier than anything that I've got, and I've actually been like, we'll talk about in a minute why, but I've been looking for heavier sounds at home, because I really, like I say, when you turn extra gain up, I remember being 15 and being a rock and metal guy who loved Metallica and who loved, you know, Queens of the Stone Age and that kind of like cross between pop punk and new metal and whatever the 90s and early 2000s was on Kerrang, basically. So I've got that. And then before I went away, I sold the Variax.
No, you did.
And I was like, I've got a bit of cash around, and I had a little bit of a venture through eBay, and I saw a Schecter V1 Custom, which is their flying V, but it's not their pointy V, it's their traditional shaped V.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It was on there, and it was a matte black one, so I knew it was their, like, one of their more metally sounding ones. And then it's got active pickups in it, which I'm sure I probably won't get along with, but it's not like, it's not a deal breaker, and I could also put other pickups in there. But I was like, it'd be perfect for my rocky guitar. I'll put it into like C sharp, because, you know, that's what Biffy Clyro were using, and that's what Queens of the Stone Age used for a couple of their albums. So I'll get some heavier strings. And I was like, oh, it's on there for £400, and I'm not spending £400 on a guitar. I'll put a cheeky offer in for £250 on eBay, and it'll get rejected, and I'll just move on. And it auto accepted the offer.
Nice.
So it all accepted it. So I was like, oh, wait, okay, I've got a flying V. Arrived today. And I broke it out, and yeah, it looks great. Like, the guys put stickers on the back of the guitar, which, not my thing, but like, they're also on the back of the guitar, so no one's ever going to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I can remove them if I really want to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very considerate putting them on the back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I can't get on with stickers on a guitar. It's not my thing.
No, not my thing at all. Like, to be fair, like on a pop punk machine, I don't mind it because it reminds me of that Billy Joe Armstrong. Is it a Fernandez he's got?
Yeah.
So I don't particularly mind it on that. But yeah, no, I wouldn't normally do it, and certainly not on something like that. Like I say, this is a traditional looking V. It might have active pickups in it, but it is a traditional looking V that's just matte black.
Yeah, it's got a solid look to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I like I say, it arrived tonight. I haven't had a chance to plug it in because I've had a bit of a busy day. But we can talk about that next week once I've plugged it in and heard what did you say, the Seymour Duncan?
Blackouts.
Blackouts, that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah,
they are. I managed to find the spec sheet for the guitar, so it's like a 2009 V1 custom blackout. Was it's a matte black finish, and the guitar was branded after the pickups that they put in it because they did a deal with Seymour Duncan.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
For you to then rip them out and put some like chrome covered ones,
some Fletcher chrome covered guitar pickups in there, in a matte black, solid matte black guitar.
Yeah, this is the blackout. Apart from the pickups,
pull all the hardware off and make it chrome. Yeah.
You could even go gold on that, like gold and black. Yeah, looks good.
What I really like, sat down and went, no, this is wrong, but also, what about chrome but with gold foil fronts?
Nice. Nice.
on a matte black. Absolutely not, because I don't think he'd do that for any of his higher output pickups. Although maybe he would, because he's just insane, isn't he? He's as insane as we are.
Yeah. He's like gleeful. Insanity, isn't it? It's beautiful. This is why we get along so well.
Maybe I'll go for some gold foil chrome super blends.
Yeah, it sounds perfect. Right, we're coming up to the hour, but I think we're going to end with. We've got to do this news with you on the cast because it's the simplifier. And you're our official simplifier correspondent at the Fret Talk podcast. Cool. So, yeah. What are they called? DSM and Humboldt.
DSM Humboldt? Because I don't think you've spelt it right on the thing.
I think it's
Humboldt.
Humboldt, is it?
I thought there was the B and the D together, but apparently it's not, and I've just... like invented that in my brain all.
Yeah. It's bolded, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a humbolded.
Bolded.
Yeah, not humbered adult.
No. That's humbled. I'm putting that D downstairs. In the wrong place. That is humbered adult. Yeah. But yeah, so DSM Humboldt they're a company, German, I assume.
No, they're like Chilean.
Really? Wow.
They're definitely like South American.
Yeah, definitely not as German as they sound. But
well, I mean, you know what? You know the Germans that happened to make it down to South America that left in mid-1940s?
Say no more. Yeah.
So they do have a history of having some German residents. But cool. They don't talk about it.
Yeah, maybe some of them bought out the Humboldt. So Simplifier, of course, was the thing that started it all off, which is what you've got, which is
a
individual single channel, but like with three different voices and two speakers, is it? like the option of like stereo speaker pairing kind of thing. They've bought out another few since, I think. Let's have a look. We've got the
The Mark II.
Yeah,
and then there was
the DLX.
DLX, and then there was a two channel, and then there was a bass version.
Yeah, so they've been experimenting with it, and this is kind of the end game, isn't it, for this one? If the original simplifier was kind of Avengers 1, this is end game.
Yes,
because this is like they can't get any further than this. This is the Simplifier X, which ironically named, isn't it now? It really is. So this is definitely a two-channel. You've got side A and side B, which basically the side B, for some reason, is on the left and is the original sounds. So like the AC30, the quote-unquote American blackface-sounding combo, and the British-sounding gold-faced amplifier.
I think the technical names are AC Brit, USA, and MS Brit.
There you go.
I'm sure you can understand what that means.
Yeah. There is like not much line reading needed.
No.
So you've got that on the left hand side, which you've got like a full three band EQ and a gain control. Then you've got the next kind of layer down is resonance, presence, and then your amp selector, and then like the power section as well, like kind of a power flavor section. And then you've got below that is basically like the cab area, which you've got reverb. So kind of almost talking like distance the mic is away from the cab to get like the sound of the room. And then you've got the speaker color. So where you're placing it on axis or like further towards the cone or the cap.
Is that's what it was on the original, but now it's got like black speaker, blue speaker, green speaker. So it's like flavor of speaker that you've got, whether it is a Jensen, whether it is an Alnico blue, or whether it is a Celestian Greenback.
Oh, and then you've got small combo.
And then you've got cab
twin combo and then stack. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is 112, 212, 412.
Yeah. And then your master level, basically. So that's the left side, which you'd expect to be side A, but
it's not, it's B.
And B, yeah, of course. B for one. And then A is the second one. So A is basically, it's like a mirror image, but everything's going up to 11 now. So the AC Brit is now like the AC Brit top boost.
TB.
Top boost. Then you've got
USA the rod, not the Fender Hot Rod or anything. What?
Yeah. And then the MS JCM 800. 800? Sorry, 800.
Yeah. Just 800. Yeah.
Yeah, just 800. Yeah. And then it does the same thing. So you've got your preamp, your kind of power amp section, and then your cab section. It's much more complicated as well in terms of like the IO. It's so fully featured.
And it's got a two button foot switch for you to turn the reverb and change the channel, which the original simplifier was one channel and didn't have any foot switches, and you didn't need to faff around with any of that. Yeah. But it's an external foot switch that does come with it, but you have to then like add it in. So if you don't want to just have one side or the other, at which point just buy a simplifier. So you like the whole point of it is to like you'll want the two channels, so you'll need to plug in this external foot switch, which will let you turn your reverb on and off, and which is digital reverb, but everything else is analog.
And then to be you've fair, got
the switch.
Like, there's no way of fitting
You can't put a spring tank in it.
It definitely wouldn't be simplifier then, would it?
Yeah.
But
you could have like a vertical straight spring tank coming out the top of it.
like a fucking erection. Yeah, it would be called the simplifier hard. Just have a spring protruding menacingly at the front of it. Jeez. But yeah, so you've got an effects loop per amplifier as well, or you can use it as a stereo effects loop. You've got input, dual outputs, and dual XLR outputs.
Yeah,
and a through in case you wanted to do any reamping. And yeah, you've got operating modes as well. You've got three different operating modes, which are full parallel, AB switching, and dual mono. So there is a lot going on here. There is a lot going on. It is the...
Oh, yeah, and the foot switch doesn't... There's no space for the foot switch in on either the top or the bottom, so that's on one side.
Yeah. yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, look, it's a brain unit now, isn't it? Because it's got so much I.O. on it. You're not having it on a board because otherwise it will take up the entire board with all of the...
And you retain your headphone jack, but that's now on the opposite side to that side with your headphone level and your aux in. So you've still got the features that the original one had, just in a less convenient way for a pedal board.
So it really has strayed from the light, hasn't it, here, from the simplifier.
I mean, I wouldn't, like, I went for the simplifier because I like to have a physical knob for the things that I want to control, but I wanted something that fits on my board. And at this point, you no longer have what I'm looking for, because it's too complicated. There's too much stuff either side of it, which means you can't put it vertically or horizontally on your board. You've got to have it just separated from pedals, at which point you might even have to have like an auxiliary board for it, or you just run it as an amp on top of a cabinet that you're not using, because it's a 0-watt amp, so it's not going to power anything. But it's gone away from everything that drew me to the simplifier.
Yeah, it's the best way that I can describe it is it's a solution to the people who want to do digital modeling but are still afraid of menus. So they want all of that kind of that versatility and that like switching option ability, but then also want physical knobs to be able to turn rather than a menu. I mean, it's a Humboldt thing. Like, it's their product. It's going to sound good. It's going to function really well. And I did a news this week for Pedal Boards of Doom where I sung the praises of this one. And I still agree with it, the fact that despite it moving away from the simplifier slogan, I think they should have called it the complexifier. they could have called it the complexy and like really
steered into that skid.
That's it. Really turn into the name's wrong. But I'm still standing by the product, is that it's that kind of the gateway for those who want a digital model without digital modeling. So I'm cool with that, and it's not a bad price considering you're getting two full channels, like two basic like full amps, and all of that I/O. It's £435, which we have recently found out is a good £100 less than the HX Stomp still.
Yeah.
Like a good solid £100 and change less than a HX Stomp. So you're doing all right. Like it's not bad. But yeah, for me, out of the lot, the simplifier gets it. Like, the simplifier makes the most sense. Yeah, just the standard simplifier.
Yeah, and like I say, yeah, the simplifier is what dragged me to them, and this is just a bit too complex for the kind of person I am. Don't get me wrong, this Simplifier X will be the exact product that some people are looking for. It's just not me.
Yeah, yeah. And that seems like a wonderful place to end the podcast for this week. We are going to extend a thank you to our listeners. You lot who have made it this far. Fantastic. Just amazing tenacity that you've shown this week. Give yourself a self high five. Not that.
hand to hand.
if sounds like a technique that does.
Oh God!
But I mean, if that's what you want to do, you carry on. But just don't tell us about it, please. We don't need to know. But yeah, thank you for making it this far. You are amazing. Like I mentioned on so many of these podcasts, without you guys listening to this, it would basically just be therapy for me and Matt. So, you're validating our life choices here. So thank you for that. We extended a thank you to our sponsor, which is affordable.co.uk. Check them out, honestly. Such great customer service and really good choice picks for affordable guitar products. Not just guitar pedals, but guitar accessories too. And a final one this week is for our Patreon backers, our lovely, lovely Patreon backers, who for as little as $2 a month, you can be part of this. I say exclusive crew. It's not exclusive. You come and join. $2 a month. What is that? It's nice. None, is it? And the Patreon backers are as follows. We've got Mr. Adam Yeomans of Chef Tone Effects. We've got Mr. Hugh G. Rection.
Wee.
We've got Mr. Mike Oxlong.
Wee.
We've got Mr. Gary Goldencock.
Wee.
That is the trifecta of Erector. Those guys, best of buds. They might be giving themselves self high fives. just saying. We've got Mr. Ben Fletcher of Fletcher Pickups. We've got Mr. Brian Gare of the Tone Jerks podcast, the Second Button podcast, and the Off the Rails podcast. We've got Mr. Diabetes Foot. And we've got Mr. Jason Wharton of Jason Wharton 82 and Pedalboards of Doom at YouTube. Check his stuff out. He's fantastic. I like his stuff. If you want to find me online, I also do internet stuff on Pedalboards of Doom. I also do Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Threads /BudgetPedalChap, where this week you will see on the No Talk or Tone series something that almost, very, very almost broke me with how much. it's so, so much. is the Demon Effects Reverb and Delay Workstation. And there are so many buttons, so many. But I'm going to let you into a little bit of a secret here. It is good. It is really good. So definitely check it out. It's a long one though. Check so maybe before you click that link, just pour yourself a brew, settle in, nice little, get yourself kind of settled into that. Matt, where can we find you online?
I am at heel_MattQ on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads.
Yes, you are. And that's us for this week, isn't it? That's a podcast. So from myself and Mr. Budget Pedal Chap, from Mr. Matt Quine, say bye, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
Well, hey, it will be a tatty bye. And good night for this week. That'll be.
Bye.
After the ballet skirt was invented, the creators spent days coming up with a name. Finally, they put two and two together. Oh, it's shit, but it works.